Toronto? Good. Going on to a new unit in our study of Erlichkeit Baruch Hashem, and that is in the subject of being mazik. What is the responsibility of a person to prevent and avoid a maisa hezek causing damage to someone else? Let me give you a commonplace example. It's actually an incident that happened relatively recently. But it could, similar things could happen all the time. If someone gives me a package, I'm driving to New York. So would you mind taking this with you? And my mishpacha will meet you over there and pick it up. I say, sure, no problem. So I put it in the back of my car, and I drive. I stop one or two times along the way, and I'm not really in the habit of locking up my car because I don't have a lot of valuables in it, Baruch Hashem. And I can't be bothered. Besides which, I want to be able to get a little air because otherwise it gets so stuffy and hot if I seal it all up. So my wife asked me, or my child, but, you know, you have a package in there, you're a shamer. So it might get stolen. And so you'll be bashe, you'll be responsible. I say, things never get stolen. If they do, okay, so I'll pay for it. But, you know, I don't want to get out. I don't think it's getting stolen anyway. And Baruch Hashem doesn't get stolen. Right. Was that proper for me to do or not? Or take it a step further, what happens if it does get stolen? Am I responsible if I have something entrusted in my house to always lock up my house, which otherwise maybe I wouldn't do, depending on the neighborhood I live in? Every time I go in and out, I'm a shamer. You have to be null in front of Karoi. You have to lock it up properly. If a shamer is posheya, if he's negligent in his shmira, even a shamer chinam, he becomes liable for damage. And the Gemara beginning Bava Kamma talks about arba avos nezikin, and expands the list to be, in the conclusion of the sugya, 24 avos nezikin, including the arba shemrim, are part of the list of the mazikim. In other words, in a situation which I entrust my valuable in your hands, and I rely upon you to safeguard it, and you don't do so, then your not doing so is bringing on a damage, a loss to me. Potentially, possibly, and if the damage does occur, that my negligence is considered to have been a damage to you. It's one of us nezikin. So go back to the question. This is just one example of many. Am I able to say, listen, I don't think anything is going to happen. If it does happen, so whatever it costs, I'm willing to cover it. Baruch Hashem, I can afford it, and therefore I'm not going to worry about it. Or am I responsible to take reasonable Shmira to avoid having a hezek? Well, let's take a step further than that. Can I even go maliciously, intentionally, and make a hezek? I've been saying I'm willing to pay for it, but I got so angry at this guy, I want to bust his window. And I'll give him a check for $200 to fix the window. All right, Baruch Hashem, I can afford that. But I just got angry. Of course, it's not good midos. And call a shavu kelim b'kase. A person breaks things when he's angry. It's like what a zarlik more says in Shabbos, a dollar or so. But it's bad midos. But in terms of hezek, is there an issur d'oraisa to cause a hezek or to inflict a hezek, a damage, on my friend's property, willing to pay for it? I'm willing to pay for it, but I wanted to do this anyway. If I'm going to say there's an issur, we're going to have to find a source for this issur.
Lo sigzol.
Pasha's lo sigzol is if I take something. I'm not taking it, I'm just breaking your window. I didn't take it home. I didn't pick it up. I wasn't a gazlan, I was a mazik. I could argue that I'm not a gazlan, I'm not a ganav, I don't fit into either of their criterion. And therefore, as long as I'm willing to pay, that's all the Torah says. We'll go through Pasha Mishpatim. It says you have to pay Nezek Sholim, Chatzit Nezek, which is Yachar, which is Rabim, all the different rules of payments. And I'm willing to make the payments. Baruch Hashem, I can afford it, and I don't care if I'm Mazik things. So I'll go careening down the street like at, you know, 95 miles an hour. Well, you have to take lives into consideration. That's a whole different story. But even though I'm going to bump into a bunch of cars on the way, nope. I'll give my business card every single one, send me a book. So if I want to make a hezek, am I willing to pay? That's not a very smart policy. Certainly don't advocate it. But in any other situation which a person causes a hezek, I'll have my camp play baseball right next to the glass house. that's going to be expensive ball game. Is there an isser to inflict an injury, a damage on someone else's property? Now, as far as inflicting an injury, personal injury, into a person, there are separate yisurim of being about b'chayvo b'chaveri, not letting even b'chayvo b'yatzmai. We're not going right now into personal injuries, but as far as property damage, to inflict property damage on someone else, the question is, where is there isser? Is there an isser? Let's first establish that there is, and then I have to ask the question of where it comes from. So over here, if you have a sheet, everything's over here compacted onto one sheet. There's more on the back table over there. The Turin Chayshim Mishma of Gideon Hilchos Nezikin opens up and says, "Kishem shall also ligno v'ligzol mamon chaveri," just as it's forbidden to steal or to rob property belonging to someone else. "Kachaser lahazlig mamon shalai," likewise, it's also usher to damage his property. "Afilo meino nena," even not taking it for myself and using it. "Kamen shemaziko," once any is time, I'm going to go and damage it. "Be'mezim v'shagi chavashali." Vajli onos, other than in case of onos, which is a category of his own. Well, Pir Shabbach, and the Bach over there on the Shulchan Aruch explains, Kleimer lo tema deleki yisura. The Torah over here is teaching us that you shouldn't think that it's just a matter of liability and obligation to pay, but there's no isur involved. Elo ligzol of ligdo v'ligzol k'nechsiv v'kroi. Maybe it's only also to do that which is thievery or robbery, as the Pasuk talks about. But damages only talks about liability of payment, doesn't talk about an isser, a lav, an aveira to do so. Elisura na mika no, the chiddush is that there is an isser to inflict damage as well.
Is there something peculiar about the language here?
I can't hear you. Sorry, I didn't hear a word.
I said there's something peculiar about the language here. Perhaps you can comment on it. It says beim amazin, beim shogeg.
Right.
Usually we put it in the other way.
What? Adam Shagig Bezid Ainus Ruts on a person is always going to be high of damage, whether it's intentional or not. So over here we have explicit in the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, similar to that Dervada, there is an isser of inflicting damage, making damage is almost all property. Doesn't tell us where it comes from, but it certainly tells us clearly that such an isser exists. Bir Grub, which I reference, is a different place in Simon Kufnun Hay, speaks out. In a case where it gets involved with Machlokes Rama of a Rush, but what you do in the case of a Safek, he says, Avada, even not only a Nezek, but even a Grum of a Nezek is also Asim and a Tera, according to both Shitas, without getting involved over there, the Rush and the Rambam. Below Bir Mahuyas, he doesn't tell us the Makor, the base of why it's Asir. A Grum of a Nezek is significant. Grum of a Nezek, the Gemara says in the beginning of a Kainas and Bava Kama, a list of cases, that is Pata B'di Adam V'chai B'di Shemayim. A Grama is something that's not a direct damage that I'm doing myself to your property, but I set it up to be able to happen. And that is not going to be collectible, liable, and invested, but still Chai B'di Shemayim. The Gemara says in L'Yachbor M'Basra, that even though it's pater, but isura mi ha'ika b'arvara, there is an isser on daf chav beis or daf chav gimel. I think chav gimel mar aleph. The Gemara in Bavasra says there is an isser. That's the second parak of Bavasra. Bava Basra, the second bava in Ezekin on daf chav gimel mar aleph, I think is where it says that there's an isser. I didn't quote that over here inside. So the Gra is saying that isser is also usser min hatera. It's also an isser deraisa. Even by case of grumma. Now, one can say, possibly, one can theorize, that the issue that we're looking for lies in the chiyuv. When the Torah says that yichayv an arba avos nezikin, ashor, babor, ma, behever, or whatever the list of the chavtal avos nezikin, when the Torah says that such and such a thing is going to be chayv when you do it to someone else, could be as implicit that you're going to be chayv for that, that's somewhat of a punishment to you for doing something wrong. If it's mutter for me to do, why should I carry a liability? And therefore, in the chiyuv, when the Torah says you're going to be liable for payment, lies that an implication that there's an isser in it. But and most would be able to say, based on that those cases the Torah says would be chayiv, the avos nezikin, that you're also going to understand from that you're not allowed to do it. But there where the Torah does not assign any liability, on a grumma that falls below that level, and there is no collectible liability in that case. The Torah never says you're going to be chayiv in that. Then we would have no basis to say it's usher. If the Gemara is taking what the Shulchan Aruch is saying and going further and saying that a grum is going to be chayiv, even though it's not going to be chayiv, it's going to be usher ben Torah, that means that this usher ben Torah that we're searching for is not that which lies implicitly in the chiyuv, because even when there is no chiyuv, even when you're not going to be chayiv to pay, it's still going to be usher min ha-teira, min ha-raisa, to inflict such damage. Now, as far as grummas go, the next couple quotation could fill in a blank. There's a Yad Rama, one of the early Rishonim, Rabbeim of the Rush and other great Rishonim, in his parish in Bo Basra, that says, these are his words, da usur le migram midi da usli minei hazekel inshi. One is not allowed to put plants that are going to use a lot of water on the outskirts of his property if it's near his neighbor's brick wall, so the water is going to soak through the ground and weaken the ground until eventually the wall is going to crumble, and therefore I'm going to be causing, not exactly directly, I won't be chayv to pay for it, but I'm not allowed to do something that's going to cause a damage to my friend, my neighbor, and cause damage to him. So here the Yad Ramah, one of the early Rishonim, throws out two ideas that might cover why a grum will be usher. Lifna iver lo sitim michshol on the literal translation, besides the fact about leading a person to do something that's forbidden. But in the literal translation is don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind that's going to fall over and get hurt. So that's a case of a grumma. I'm not going to take him over and push him over and make him fall down and get hurt. That would be keicho. That's me directly injuring another person. This is only a grumma with a boar kind of a thing and tripping him up and putting a obstacle in his path. And the Torah says, lo sitim michshol, lifna iver lo sitim michshol. So that could teach you the concept that you're not allowed to put set up grummies that are going to cause damage to someone else. Or maybe that pasuk is not understood literally. That's a shaila rishonim. Whether once we interpret the halachically that pasuk is talking about not bringing another person to do an avera, does it still have the literal understanding to it as well? But let's say even leave that alone, he gives us another alternative. I should do just much for someone else what I would want for my own self. I want my own self, people should protect me and my property, not cause me damages. Likewise, that's how I should look out for you as well. So here the Ramah gives us two peripheral kinds of issues, not directly in the parsha of Yisurim, of Nezikin itself, that Elif Ne'ivilosi de Michshol or Be'azir HaKubaycha would be a reason not to set up a grama. That would allow us to go back to say that the Issur D'oraisa of actual Hezek would maybe be lie inherent, implicit in the Chiyuv. And these cases that don't have a chiyuv to them, they're rehafter echa kamecha or something else.
You seem to imply that it's possible that the pasuk, because you learned something else out of the pasuk,
right,
that the simple shot of the pasuk no
right
longer applies.
That's right.
How can a pasuk ever go out from its shot?
That's amazing, isn't it? Right. Asi halacha and it's eiker the pshutus shemikra. When a yava marries a yavama, right, does not mean that it has to be any connection whatsoever with the dead brother. You call him after your own Zaydi or whatever name you want to call him, Yehuda, because you're going to give praise to Hashem. And that was the pasuk says, Yikar Hashem Achiv means that you're Yarshin. It's in regard to Yarshin. Either pasuk says this, right? Halacha is Okeris, Pshuta Shemikra, and reinterprets for us what the pasuk means. When Lifnei Iver Lo Yisita Michshol is interpreted by Chazal to mean don't cause another person to sin, right? That could now take on the meaning of what the pasuk, and there's no issur d'oraisa about putting up a stumbling block other than Rach or something like that. This pasuk is not saying don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. That's a shaila mishenim. Sefer Chinuch talks about it, and Cheskinuch, other mishenim, Mefarshim talk about that.
Is it neighbor only intentional?
What?
Only intentional
geneva?
Only intentional view.
Bein b'shogeg bein mamezed.
Lifnei iver?
Yeah.
Lifnei iver? If it's something I should have realized is going to be a michshol, I didn't think about it, but you're supposed to think twice before you do something. if it's something that should be obvious that you put over here, this is a public place, people walk over here, you put something over here, people are going to fall upon it. Well, then let them look. And you should think twice and realize people don't always look. If it's something you should think about, then are you still putting a mikshel? Okay, so what we have over here, with the following the flow, is that we have, on the one hand, clear Makaros in the Shulchan Aruch that says that there is an iser to inflict a hezek to a person. This applies even by grama. There's a possibility of interpreting grama as a peripheral issue of Havdurek HaMeich or the like. Another alternative along the same lines, I bring afterwards from the Yam Shal Shlema, that's the Maharshal, on Bava Kama, that says, Afmin Raises Asa Lasa Hezek Havera Kama, and that Kama I think is essential. But Filikol Dina de Grama of an Azikim, which is Potabin a term called Mokav Asurim in a Teira, even those things that are not chayiv, and therefore that can't tell you that you're chayiv, that it's usher, but it's still a suma ter mishum behav the recha kamaicha. So we have another concept, behav the recha kamaicha. Along the same another lines, the Shas of Tshuva Sarash, says, these are his words, v'amadakil perikol yachbar, again the second perikol of Basra, the shiru chacham the chachamim, estimated by various kinds of things, activities that people do in their house, whether it could affect people next door or their property, b'chol davar v'davar l'harchik, you have to, what distance you have to keep away. V'imash roy, that, I misspelled, I'm sorry, that word. V'imash roy l'harch l'hazik, that which they estimate can cause damage. Because, ki drachel darchidoim v'chol nisei shalom. Listen to that. Because the ways of Torah are pleasantness and peacefulness, and that's not a good way of getting along with your neighbors and with other people. V'ikpita Torah, and then a stronger wording he uses. V'ikpita Torah, the Torah is insistent, is makbid, shlo yasa odom b'toch shlo ha-dover, ha-gurim hezle chaveirai, that you're not allowed to do something, even in your own property, that's going to cause damage to someone else. So here he's coming on to another peripheral kind of a swara, of drachel, drachinom, v'chol nivsel shalom, on those things at least that are gramadik. He's not talking about actually hezle taking a hammer and breaking someone else's property. But in terms of grama, that could be just, it's improper, it's inappropriate, it's wrongful according to the way of the Torah. And then finally, one more peripheral argument, yes?
I thought we don't learn halachas from Ksuvah.
We learned halachas from the way of Torah. The way of Torah, we see in halachas all over, that's also to make hezek. So he explains the reason is because of this. That's an explanation. And finally, one more peripheral argument before we get down to really the meat of what we want to discuss right now. Is the Minchas Chinuch and the Rishash, the next quotation. Minchas Chinuch says that the only Isser Lahazik that he finds is Rav Mekayta Teirat Tziv, because the Torah gives us a mitzvah, Lahashiv Avidasai. If I see someone's object getting lost or getting ruined, getting swept away or burnt up or whatever, something happening to someone's property, I have to try to save it. Mikoshkein Shalei Yazikai, Lahazikai. So then from the Hashavas of Veda, you can learn, certainly the Torah says, I have to make efforts to save for loss from someone that I didn't even initiate. I didn't make that hezek happen, but I have to try to save it. So kol shekein, I can't go in and still now a hezek in someone uninitiated and cause that hezek to happen. The Rishash and Ksuvas Yudches likewise says the same is for also, but the difference between the two of them is significant. The Rishash only says it in regard to Grum of an Ezekin, like the other peripheral as far as we speak of until now. Only the Minchas Chinuch is the only one I found that says that would be the basis of actually being Masik. Let's go back now to the beginning. What about if I see your lost object going down the drain, and I can still snatch it? I say, you know what? I'm too lazy to do that. I'll just pay you its value instead. Is that Makayim Isser Shavas Aveda? Aviyam or not? Why the Gemara says in Bava Tzia and Amavka the Sfarah, because Rotzon Makav Shlo Yosem Yitishik Avach Chaveri, that if I have entrusted in your hands some perishable fruits, and they start spoiling, so at what point do I sell them out? So Gemara says, even if only one-tenth of them is going to survive, it's better to give me back one-tenth of my hard-work planted strawberries that I grew in my own backyard, even though I'm going to get 10% of them back, rather than selling all 90 or 100% and giving me that much more money. Rosen Amkavshel, a person wants his own property, he has his own feeling about it, more than 10 times as much of something from someone else. And therefore, by Hezek also, the fact that you're going to compensate me monetarily is still not my strawberries that I made, or not my whatever property it is that that is. Excuse me? By Hashem is a Veda.
Yeah,
so that's good. Okay, fine. The Torah was very makbid on it, L'suchah L'salim as well. So we have various svaras why, especially by Grama, it could be Aser. But let's talk about the Iser of Hezek itself. The beginning of the, we start at the top of the page, which is the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they say, that it's Aser to be Mazik, Kishem Shul Aser Ligno V'l Hazik, Ligno V'l Ligzol B'machavera, Kachas Aser L'Hazik B'machavera. The parallel that they draw is not V'Hath Rech G'mecha, it's not Hashem V'Zaveda, it's not Drecha Darchi Nayam, it's not all these nice svaras. It's just like Gezel, it's just like Geneva, you can't take away someone else's property, it's not yours, hands off. It's a parallel to Gezel. The only one that speaks this out, black and white explicitly, is this Rabbeinu Yonah. And that's what I'm going to try, Be'ez Hashem, tonight, with everyone else here's help, to come to understand what Rabbeinu Yonah says. This is the first Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of the parish of Masechtos Aves, Pirkei Aves, on the famous first mission of the Masechta, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messina, Mesorah, Yeshua, Yeshua, Lizkanim, etc. So the words Rabbeinu Yonah says is, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messina, Bein Terish B'Ksav, Bein Terish B'Pah. He didn't just give us over the Chumash Chumshei Torah that we have written down, the Sefer Torah, put in the Aron Kodesh or in your local Chumash that's on the table, with Rashi on the bottom. But he learned also the entire Terish B'Pah, the halachic interpretation of all those psukim of the mitzvahs of the Torah. She'atayah b'pirusha nitna, it quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, the Torah was given with its explanation. The Torah was written down, and the explanation was given over orally for generations and generations as it filtered down eventually to become the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Shebelo kein, the Rabbi Ben Yonah says, because without that accompanying companion explanation, interpretation of Torah Shabbat with Torah Shabbat Ksav, E.F. Shalamadbo, otherwise we wouldn't know our right or our left hands how to understand what the Torah says. And the first example, it goes in other examples I didn't quote afterwards, but the first example of Rabbeinu Yonah says is our topic. Shrei Kosel, the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim Vayikra, Yotes. Lo Sigzol. So you might think that just means don't stick him up with a gun and say, yeah, your money or your life. That's what Lo Sigzol means. V'chol ha'nizogim b'klal. Oso halav. So Rabbeinu Yonah, right? Torah Shabbat Pet expands it beyond that and says it's not only a bank robber. It's anyone that makes any one of the 24 categories of Hezek, or maybe beyond that as well. Anyone that does any kind of Nezek that we find in the Bava Kama, Bava Tzia, Bava Basra, are also included in this Lavalo Sigzo. Behemin HaTeira, and that also therefore becomes an Isser from the Teira. Alpi Kabbalos, Moshe Messinai, Faisal and Teresh Bapel Moshe Bener learned, Afilo Nechtevu, even without being written down. He gives other examples as well, Ben Dam Ladam, Ben Din Ladin, Zav, Tzaira, Dam, Nida, all the different halachis, we wouldn't know what they are. The Torah would show up past and interpret to us what they are. But the first example he cites is, you would never know what the Gezel is. You would think it's only the grossest kind of event. So he said, the Torah Shabbat Pass says, no, all the Nezikin are included within Lo Sigzol. This is the Rabbeinu Yonah, which fits most perfectly with what the Torah Shulchan Aruch say, that just as it's usher to Gnei V'Gzela, likewise it's usher to Maisa Hezek as well.
Is he saying it's become halacha l'shmasinai?
It's the halacha l'shmasinai, or the Torah Shabbat Pah, interpretation of what the Torah Shabbat Ksav says. Torah says, lo sigzol. I don't know exactly what's included in that. Torah says, take a look at Mishpatim. Take a look at the whole array of Nezikin the Torah says you're chayav for. Torah Shabbat says, put two and two together and figure out what you have. These are all the details of the lav of a lo sigzol. The Torah says on Shabbos, lo sasecho mulacha. What does it mean? I'm not allowed to exercise, I'm not allowed to carry my furniture upside downstairs. What exactly is mulacha? Flicking a switch, we all would think with much more or less exertion than, what is mulacha? So we need a Torah Shabbat to tell you, oh, you learn out from the Pasuk talks about Shabbos, together with the Pasuk talks about Melechas, Moshe, Shabbos, and Mishkan, and you all know that we learn out the Melechas, a whole Masechta about it.
Rabbi,
The Teresh Bal Peh now interprets what it means, Lo Sasa Chabalacha. The Teresh Bal Peh now interprets what it means, Lo Sigzol. The Teresh Bal Peh that the Rebbe Yehuda learned. Well, other than the Minchas Chinuch, which Rebbeinu Yehuda is not committed to, all the other Mefarshim could be just talking about Grama ben Hezekin. And that, when it doesn't have a din derais of Hezek on it at all, so that might be only because of Havdur HaMeich, or Shavu Zaveid, or Drachadur HaChidayim, etc. But a genuine Mazik, one of the Chavdalat Abbas Hezekin, the Teretika cases, of Onus and Mefata and Arba Shemrim together with the Shor Vabor Vamava Behever, etc. Those things that the Torah assigns liability to, the Torah could be, with the Torah's Bapel understanding, says those are all subdivisions of the master of Lo Sasecho Melacha, of Lo Sigzol. And those are, I don't see any of the other Mefarshim have to argue on that. They might be limiting themselves to Grama, while an actual Hezek might go into Lo Sigzol going to everyone, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. If the other Rishonim are arguing on the Rebbeinu Yehuda, I would say the Shulchan Aruch indicates we go with the Rebbeinu Yehuda. But I'd rather make peace between them and say that they're talking about Grama, and Rebbeinu Yehuda might concede over there, possibly. That might not go into those things. The Torah didn't address that. But those things that the Torah does address become now subdivisions, details of the master law of Lo Sigzol. Okay. Of the argument of Hashem and Zaveda beforehand, as I say, and allows to say. I'll tell you another huge nafkamina between them. We have to Echa Kamecha, as well as Hashem and Zaveda, is specific to Jew to Jew. It's only amongst their own Reacha, another Shor Achicha, another Yid with another Yid. But it wouldn't apply with a Goy. As opposed to Gezel, we pass in Gezel Akum is also Usser. And many Rishonim, the Shach brings them down, says that Gezel Akum is also Midraisa. If this goes under Lo Sigzol, it's going to be we're not allowed to do it from a Goy. It'll also mean that a Goy is not allowed to be Mazik. One of his Zayimis is B'nai Na'ech is Gezel. So if a Goy comes over to me and smashes something that I own, that's Gezel, that's one of his Zayimis B'nai Na'ech. If it's V'haf L'recha K'meicha, he wasn't told V'haf L'recha K'meicha. If it was a Shabbos Aveda, he doesn't have that mitzvah at all. Once it goes into Lo Sigzol, it applies both the Yid to the Goy, and the Goy to the Yid, and the Goy to the Goy. It's universal now. It's all-inclusive. Everyone in the whole world is Mitzuva in the Isser of Lo Sigzol.
But the Dvar Patra is for Hezek of Akum.
The Torah Patra is in the Tashlumim. There's no Chi of Tashlumim. Does that mean, therefore, that's Mutter to do? Aleph. Bezes, Toza says in Bava Kama, Laman Chesem Aleph, but that's only specifically by Momen Amazik, which is by the shore of Re'eyu. But by Odom HaMazik, there's no such patur. So when you're driving your car and you sideswip a Goy's truck, right, that's Odom HaMazik, that's not Mamon HaMazik. So there's no patur on that. Very good. Here we go. Very good, Rabbi. Very good. This is the problem now. The problems are going to be that there are halach, we're going to get to that. As we continue, we're going to explain Rav Aaron Levin's comment. There are halachic guidelines, criterion, definitions of what goes under gneva, what goes under gzela, what goes under oshek, what goes under different categories of taking someone else's money. And there is a concept, skip right now for the moment, the next quotation from the Tur and the Bach, but towards the bottom of the first page and going on to the top of the second page, I have a series of four quotations from Rashi, two in Bamitzi and two in Sanhedrin, where Rashi says, the parts that are underlined, says, Lo Sigzol is only when actually you're taking it, Kamova Yigzol Asachanis Miyana Mitzri. A pasuk in the Navi talking about going actually and grabbing something out of someone else's hands, that's by Yigzol Asachanis is a spear or a lance or some kind of a weapon. He took it and grabbed it out. But by Yigzol Asachanis Miyana Mitzri, that's by called by Yigzol. And Rashi uses that, you'll see in these Rashis four times over, that gzela has to be something that's actually a physical chatifa, a tfisa, taking something out of someone else's hands physically. for instance, intellectual property and injunctions would not be legal as hanis. I didn't physically take anything away from you. You still have the same program or the same recording as you had beforehand. I just pirated it. I just copied it. So if you go with that standard of gazel, we'll have maybe another time we give a shiur on intellectual property issues. That's a very interesting subject. But I don't want to get too much on a tangent right now. But Rashi seems to give the standard for vayigzul as a gzela is vayigzul as a chanis, is actual maisa tfisa. Turning the page now, the second page, which is the fourth of these little paragraphs, the last of the ones that start with the word Rashi, Gazlan derises a chotef mamish, actually grab something physically. Kago ben yo yodosiv, vayigzul as a chanis miyad of itzri. Rashi four times over in different places in the Gemaras sets the standard of gezel to being an actual physical overpowering and taking something from someone else. If I just go over and take my baseball and throw it through your window, I haven't taken anything away from you. I just broke it. But to say that fits the standard of a yigzul chanis might be difficult. Now, the source for the Rashi, which Rashi took beyond what the Gemara says. The Gemara itself in Bava Kamma is the only place in Gemara brings this. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the next quotation, brings, and I'm going to start now paraphrasing instead of reading inside because of time constraints. The Gemara over there in Bava Kamma says that Vayigzul Zechunis teaches us that a Maisa Gezel has to be out in the open, brazenly, unabashedly, unashamedly. I go over to you and say, I'm taking away from you, I overpower you. As opposed to a thief in the middle of the night, a burglar or a pickpocket is someone that's always hiding himself, a gazlan is b'fahesya b'gali, out in the open. And that, v'yigzol z'chadis, over there in a battle kind of a scene, so he went over to him, knocked him over, took the thing out of his hand and ran took it. That's not stealthily and secretively taking away from him, it's by force, by overpowering him. That's the point of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, to distinguish between what falls under Gnei, what falls under Gzela.
That seems to be against the
why so?
Because Rabbeinu
Yonah
says that basically
all the Zikr Rabbeinu Yonah says falls under Gezel. Gezel and Geneva as all one, even though there might be particulars between what's Gezel and what's Geneva and what's Oshek and what's withholding payment, right? That's all the parsha of taking something that doesn't belong to anyone, that doesn't belong to you, it belongs to someone else. But the point is, I'm saying for this Gemara Bava Kamma, is that you don't see what Rashi's saying. Rashi's making a standard of his own that the technical Gezel has to be actually physically taking something from someone else. The Gemara used that same pause to say that Gezel, as opposed to Geneva, is when it's done openly rather than secretively. But it doesn't make the point to say Dafka that it has to be physically taking something away. It could be also going openly and in front of everyone, smashing and breaking something along with someone else. That might be an extension, a subdivision of Gezel as well. And the Rambam, the next quotation, without it again going into it inside, gives us again, using the puzzle of a Yuzel as a Chanis, based on Gemara, just shows the difference between open and public and unashamedly, or rather secretively and stealthily, like a thief in the night. Question is, though, is what's the source for Rama, for Rabbeinu Yonah? Where do we see this concept that Gezel is much broader than robbery in its simplest definition? So the Gemara in Bava Tzia, the next quotation towards the bottom, the middle of the second page, is a Gemara in Beginim Ezonesh of Bava Tzia, where, again, without reading through inside, even though it's fascinating, it's so good to go through, the Gemara over there says that we find three similes surim in the Torah of not taking money that belongs to someone else wrongfully. One is called osigzel. One is called don't take ribis, which you're not entitled to. You lend $100, you're entitled to $100. Why should we take $110? That's taking something that doesn't belong to you. And you're forcing him because otherwise he's not going to get the $100 he needs right now desperately. So you're going to force him now to give you extra money that you don't deserve. That's also gezel. And the third one is onah, when you overprice or underpay and cheat in the pricing of a purchase or a sale. That's also taking someone else's money. It's property that you're not paying properly for, or overpayment that you're taking extra money for. That's also kind of gezel. And the Gemara says really all three things are almost interchangeable. It has a discussion why we had to have each of those Isurim, why we couldn't learn one from the other. And the Gemara even concludes that if the Torah would just tell us that not to take ribbis and not to overcharge and cheating in pricing, I wouldn't need to have the Torah tell me lo sigzol. I would understand from those two already that you can't take something that doesn't belong to you, even when the other person is agreeable to pay me ribbis, or even when it's a matter of doing commerce and buying and selling. It's usur the kosher came to go out right and rob or steal. That for sure would be usur. Why the Torah have to say it? The Torah says you can't rent it. Right. So once the Torah says you can't rent money, right, then you're taking something you're not entitled to. So certainly if I steal from you, I'm taking money I'm not entitled to. Ribbis is a chiddush, right? But once I have even a ribbis, I'm not allowed to take something that I'm not entitled to. If I gave you 100, I'm entitled to 100. 110, I'm not entitled to. So kosher can, if I give you nothing, I'm not entitled to take 110 or just 10 or even 1. I can't take something I'm not entitled to. So from there, I would know those signals. Therefore, what's the signal for? Lava Lava Shay Lava just to give another layer of Yisur on top of the pre-existing Yisurim. So Gemara over there talks about Gezel being expanded to be beyond robbery. And Gemara says, therefore, I did quote over here, it's another Gemara above in Kofiot Aleph, that if you hire a worker and you don't pay him, besides being over the Yisur of Losol Pula Sachir and Losashik Pula Sachir Itach, the Torah also, you're over Losigzel. That's thievery, that's robbery. Work for me, and then when you pay, I'm not going to pay you. So even without saying, if you push him off, and then make one excuse, another excuse, you never pay him, you're stealing from him. He's entitled to money, and you're keeping it in your pocket, not giving to him what he deserves. That's over a low sigzol. So those Gemaras, in Samach Aleph and Kufyot Aleph, those Gemaras of Mamatziah expand Gezel to be beyond the scope of literal Gezel, robbery, to become taking that which doesn't belong to you and causing someone else that kind of a loss. Arguably, though, even that kind of case, though, is when I'm still taking something. When I'm taking something, then that's gezel. But when I just go over and break something, when I drive by and I sideswipe your car, I never took your car, I never touched your car, but like my car touched your car, but I didn't take it, I just broke it. Or if I threw my baseball at your window, or any other way that a person mazik another person, I didn't take it. So how does that fall under the gezel?
You didn't pay rent. You didn't take anything.
I owe him that money. Yeah. And the money that I owe him now I'm keeping. So that's why I'm taking away from him, keeping, withholding from him money that he's entitled to. So over here also by mazik, am I taking something from him?
Money.
Right. No, I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to pay him. So it's not the withholding of the money. It's the damage to his property, which I'm willing to pay for. So where is the taking something of his? I took it away from him in the sense that he doesn't have it anymore, but I didn't take it for myself to take it, to acquire it, to have it, to use it, to make it mine.
You're chayav kelev because of the loss. You're chayav for gezela because of the loss of the violence.
Okay.
Therefore, that's why it's
mamet,
for example.
Geneva,
if you pay
kefil
where it's a knas, that
can be... Let's leave knas alone. Geneva and Gzela are both your high of a karen, at least.
I'm just saying it's a din mamet.
Right.
So,
but maybe that's only when I took something of yours. When I just broke something of yours, but I never took it, never entered into my property, how do you know that? In a technical sense of a gezel, it's not. We have to expand it with the Torah Shebaal Peh. We have to expand it. So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that that's what Teresh Ba'al Peh of Moshe Rabbeinu Mehar Sinai was makabel. Okay, we had to be makabel that as well.
Also, the Teresh Ba'al Peh, you have to get somebody to fix it, and isn't that the time?
Okay, that would just be a grumma I would not be chayav on. The Gemara says if I would take your coin or diamond ring and throw it into a pool of water that's even very, very deep, as long as it's clear water, you can see it down there, I can see it's there, no damage to it. Are you going to have to hire now a diver to be able to go down and retrieve it, and that's going to cost you an arm and a leg, right? Yeah, that's just a grum of an azigan. Grum of azigan is bata avalaser, right? That's not a maisa hezek. The object itself was not damaged at all. But if I take it now and I break it, right, I smash it, then I'm actually damaging your property. Then I have to pay for it. Now, when I damage your property, right, I haven't taken it for myself. When I steal it, I take it for myself. So without the Torah Shebaal Peh, we wouldn't make this jump. But the Torah, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, tells us that that also goes into it. The question is, where does the Torah tell us that? The Torah Shebaal Peh, where does the Torah tell it to us?
You also took away the usage from him. You no longer use it until he gets it.
I made him not have that, but I didn't take it. So the word taking over here, we're using it. Right, but the word, taking, I'm tripping up on, because I made him not have that anymore, but I didn't take it for myself. So that aspect of Gezel I don't have. So where do we ever find Gezel in which I haven't taken anything for myself? I just now caused him not to have it. If I kick his item overboard and it goes down to the bottom of the ocean, right? So I haven't taken it for myself, I just caused him a permanent loss. That's going to be Gezel, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. But in the classic definition of a Gezel, it does not. So Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah, where is it saying Torah Shebaal Peh even? So I want to tell you, there's a Mishnah that everyone here knows by heart. Probably, I'm willing to bet. First Mishnah, Arba Abba Zazik, Shorba Bora Mava, Havalor, Yamava, Gere, Shavalor, Shorba, Gavavalor, Zev, the Gishim, Rechaim, Gere, Zev, Gishim, Rechaim, Lore, Eshim, Rechaim, right, Atzad, Shavish, Shehem, the Shadark and the Hazak of Monch of Shmiras and Alecha, because his Hazak, Havamaz, the Shine, when Ezra Shalim made of Sadeo from what's the Mishnah? The Mate of Arts. Okay, so the Mishnah over there says, Ushmiras and Alecha, they're Mamoncha, but Dark and the Hazak, it's your property. With Dark and the Hazak, you know, a shore of a boar and Aish are things that go out and they damage. Ushmirasan alecha, and it's incumbent upon you to guard them and prevent them from being mazik. That's the pshat of the Mishnah. Ushmirasan alecha, and it's incumbent upon you to be shamed them. And it's not only a Mishnah; it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, and that's the bottom over here in Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah twice says by a shor ha'muad that's ogeach that im shor nagal hu mitmol shel shem v'huad v'bala v'lo yishmerenu. He was told, you know, you have a dangerous goring ox. And he fails, and he's negligent, and he doesn't watch it and guard it and protect it from going out and damaging. Behemis, isho, gambal of yumas, and he's responsible for that. Kofar yushos halav, he could get atonement in a certain way. But needing atonement, and otherwise being chayav misa, means that he did something wrong. What did he do wrong? He didn't take his horns and gore anyone. Doesn't have horns on his head. V'lo yishmerenu was his failing of not being shamer, because it's incumbent on an owner to be shamer, even his animals were not being mazik. Koshkin has to be shamer my own self. A basic responsibility to see that I and my property don't cause damage to someone else. Similarly, the pasuk says, by a boar, next quotation, ki yiftach ish boar o ki yichra ish boar, v'lo yichaseno, you don't cover it up. Implicit is, we expect that you're supposed to cover it up. You want to dig, but cover. Protect. Make it safe. You're going to leave something hazardous over there and shoot the rabbi, wait for someone to get hurt, and then you're going to pay him. That's when you're going to be reliable. But the Torah is expecting that you should be shamer. That's what the Mishnah says, Ushmiras and Alecha. And likewise, in the last quote, this is my own little shtickle Torah. By the way, this word I found, I probably saw it years ago, so that's probably what I got in my mind from it, in the Baruch Ber, the Birka Shmuel, in the beginning of Bava Kama, Siman Beis, he says he heard this from Reb Chaim, his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker, that when the Torah says, V'lo Yishmerenu, it means, Meklal, there's an Isser, that you're not allowed to not be shamer. There's a chiyuv that you have to be shamer it, and that's the issur that makes you chayiv on dini nazikin, and that's even on niske mummy. Where do we learn niske adam? When adam a mazik, would I go over myself and I'm mazik you or your property? Let's say your property. So that Emma says it's not anywhere in Parshas Mishpatim where all the nazikin are. It's in the end of Parshas Emor. In a place of its own, which is the psukim over here at the end of the second page. Listen to these psukim. It's over there at the end by the talk about the parsha of the Megadeth Makalo, who's Chayav Misa. The ish ki yaka kol nefesh adam. If a person murders, most yumas is Chayav Misa. And that's a comparison to the insult of against the Shem Hashem. Hashem HaKadosh is like a tantamount to murder. Umak and nefesh behemi shamena. If you kill an animal belonging to your friend, you got to pay. That's almost like murder, but on a monetary level. Nevesh dachas nevesh, which Chazal's kippah. Again, Torah Shebaal Peh says, nevesh dachas nevesh doesn't mean you have to give an eye for an eye. It means payment. V'ish ki yite mum ba miso, if a person instills injury in another person, kasha asu ken yasu lo, which again a chazal understand to mean money, or one interpretation of the which Rambam brings down means you have to poke out his eye or you have to cut off his arm. But he could make a monetary payment to redeem that. Instead of poking out the eye, make a payment instead. But that's one interpretation in the Torah's column, which the Rambam brings down in this Gemara, which means that in theory, really, he deserves to get his eye poked out for poking out someone else's, because really, he did something terrible. He's allowed over here to be paid. You can't take a redemption to be potter himself from Chiyav Misa, but from a Chiyav Mamon, from a Chiyav of that kind, of he could. But you see, the Torah is equating damage, injury, to murder or to Makala. Shever taka, shever ayin taka, zayin shein taka, shein ka, sheiti mu mozo, umaka behemi shabena, that puzzle talk about if you don't kill the animal, your friend, but you just injure it, you just make a damage. Umaka alamumas, and if you kill a person, again, you chayim misa. Are you allowed to go and kill a person? I'm willing to die, you have misa for it. Avada, there's an isu, mo sirtsach. The Torah is putting over these things in together. Nowadays they're called juxtaposition, right? Putting it together, smichas akra, is making this thing to say that these are all isurim that are therefore punishable and liable. You're not allowed to make damages, not to a person, not to property, not even to allow your property to make other damages to other people or to other property. Well, you're spreading your bukhliyev too. So these all tell you there's something wrong with it. But where's the law? Where's the Torah says, lo sa se kain, right? Torah says, the Zakr Ben Yonah, the Moshe Ben Alon Harsina goes on lo sigzo. So part of being an Erlech Chiyah, the bottom line over here is, not only when I have to say something, I have to keep it, but I have to always be watching with my 10 eyes around my head to make sure that as I walk through life, I should never damage another person, not a goy. I should never be cause of damage. I should be galgal schusai deizakai and not a chayva. Don't be a person that's a vehicle to bring trouble to people. You should be an ambassador and bring goodwill to them.
Why should Rava be
caught? Why what?
Rava is caught by the Hezek, right?
Rava is not a Maisa Hezek.
But you just said Rava is chayv not to allow
Hezek. These are all these cases the Torah is talking about is a Maisa Vidayim, a Hezek Gomer. Gromas are another category of the owner. We had beforehand Groma might not be the same category. It might be goes under Ashavas Aveda or Drachad Drachinayam or Behavdarecha Gamaycha or Lebnei Veloisidim Mikshal. We brought a number of portions of that beforehand.